Right now it is time to bring in our good friends from the Lakeville Journal. It is time to take a look at some of the stories that we're following for you. And in the center studio we have Cynthia. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
And you're there, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Pull the microphone a little
closer. You're fairly close to the microphone there.
Yeah.
Good morning.
There you go.
And which intern is in?
Gabby.
And she wants to say hello to somebody.
Yes, I'd like to shout out my Aunt Mary Ellen Proper, who's an active listener.
Okay. Well,
thank you, Marianne.
Thank you, Marianne.
Marianne, thank you very much. I like the name Gabby. Gabby on the radio works.
That's right.
It's almost as good as Dominique and Natasha.
That's right. Okay, and, of course, let's bring in Janet Manco. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
A good radio name.
Yes. All right. Well, right there on the front page of the Lakeville Journal, fried foods, the picture.
It's the beginning of the fried food season, as we all know, and moving slowly from, it's just like with the ag fairs, you start with the little Jack Brown fair and you move your way up to the big E. So we start off with French fries on the green, and we work our way up to fried dough and funnel cakes at the Labor Day weekend Goshen Fair, and moving on to the Dutchess County Fair and then the big E.
The Big E, they even have fried butter, believe it or not. But anyway.
This makes me throw up a little bit.
I know. And I love butter, but fried butter, okay. Sad story. We talked a little bit about this last week, Cynthia, but the swimmer that drowned in the Housatonic near the Great Falls.
And every year we talk about this, the two big annual tragedies that we have are motorcycle deaths and people drowning, especially near the falls in Falls Village in Kent. And I would say almost every year we have one or both of each. And sadly, this year we've had both in the last couple weeks. It is super hot. We get the attraction of the falls. But people, I think maybe who come from places where the falls are more gentle, see the Great Falls and Bulls Bridge and think, oh, that's, you know, it's super fun to stand under the falling water. It's so refreshing. But those are very powerful. I mean, put it this way, we create hydroelectric power from those falls. They're that powerful.
Well, it's just like people that go into Housatonic, and it looks like it's a perfectly placid Housatonic when it's full up.
Yeah.
But that water is moving downstream at a very good clip.
And there's all sorts of weird, because as we know, when the water level drops, there's a lot of rocks in there, and those rocks create funny eddies and funny pulls. It is much, much safer to just, even though it's more expensive, to just spend the money to go to one of our private beaches, one of our town beaches, which are open to the public, but there is a fee to swim in them. But, you know, but it's hard because most of the people that are you know, victimized by these things are coming from out of town and often are not native speakers. So it's sad. I wish that there was a way that we could put up signs along the river, but there's no way even to know where people are going to be entering the falls, although a lot of them seem to be entering in Falls Village. There's a little access point that is way overstressed right now.
All right. On top of the 60th annual craft fair on the green, it was, and I kept saying this that night when we were there, because we always broadcast from the book signing in Sharon, was the most packed I have ever seen it.
Perfect yeah. weather, which makes a big deal. Big difference. It wasn't too hot and it wasn't raining, which is super problematic anytime you've ever been there, not only because the ground gets spongy, but also because the tent has to be enclosed and it just creates, it's like a sauna atmosphere. But they said it was the highest number of participants they've had by roughly 50 people. Mm-hmm. And several authors sold out of their books, including Dr. Kissinger, and nobody came and protested. And that was just a sunny, lovely evening.
Last time Dr. Kissinger was here, they didn't bring enough books, and so he was sold out early. He was there signing books to the very end this year.
Yeah, right? There was a huge line. You know, and you don't necessarily expect it in this super liberal part of the country, but there were, you know, from the minute he showed up, there was a line, you know, a special line for him.
He's an integral part of 20th century history. It doesn't matter whether you agree with him or don't agree with him. He is a man that is inevitably connected to what's going on in the world.
And I think it's kind of great that he could very easily be like, I'm Henry Kissinger. I don't need to come to your book signing. But he does. Every time they ask him, he's like, oh, yeah, sure.
All right. Now, also what that went on this weekend was the weekend in Norfolk. And once again, wedding vows were renewed on the green up there and much, much more.
Yes. We have a lot of summer festivals happening that we're writing about in the paper, previewing and writing about. And one of the big ones was Weekend in Norfolk, which just started a few years ago. And a way to sort of draw people up into a very quiet part of our state and our northwest corner. But if you acknowledge that Norfolk is the icebox of Connecticut, like, what a great place to go, and it's 98 degrees out in our towns. But they had a weekend of events. Deb Alexinas has written about them. They're sprinkled throughout this issue, and also Patrick wrote about them.
And the story, why towns will have to solve their internet problems, I think it's always come down to me in that, is that our telecommunications right now industry is so unregulated that it's going to be hard to get anybody to pony up to really do it. And so if it's going to be done, it has to be done from the ground up.
Right. Kim Maxwell came and spoke at Noble Horizons in a really interesting, very well-attended event. Even with all the stuff that's been going around last weekend, there was a lot of people there to find out, you know, what the future is of fiber optic, what the difference is between fiber optic and 5G. He very definitively says people are so worried about fiber optic and 5G and the electromagnetic waves that they produce, but they don't, and they shouldn't worry about that. But it's a very learned, detailed explanation about, like, the Constitution and the Federalist Papers. But the answer is, if towns want to have these high-speed internet, they're going to have to get it themselves, which is something they're already discussing with cable in towns like Cornwall that still don't have cable and internet.
All right. It'll be interesting to see how it progresses. Like I said, because most of these companies now are so big and powerful, these cable companies, they own television networks. And small towns aren't necessarily at the high end of their list.
No, and part of their agreement with the state government is that they're required to provide internet for these places and cable for places that are remote. And it's been an ongoing conversation where they're like, oh, yeah, we're not going to bring it to Cornwall. It's just too remote. There's not enough people. And the state's saying, like, you have to, or we're not going to renew. But somehow, magically, they keep getting renewed without it.
Well, because the rules have changed. We used to every 10 years have to renew, and we don't have to anymore.
There you go.
It's like I said, deregulation is good in some things and bad in others. Yeah. Norfolk rolls out the welcome mat. That is, once again, and
Right, and there's a big art show up there at the Battle Steckel Gallery, and there was music at the opening, and some very interesting local artists, including Danielle Mailer, have their work on display, and that remains up. And then Deb kind of sums up some of the many, many activities that they pulled together. Like, that's really a town that knows how to throw a party.
They've got their weekend in Norfolk, their winter and summer editions, really just always packed with lots of different things.
Yeah.
Rose Allegret Art Show opens actually tomorrow.
Right. Don't go, because Ann and Alexander and I want to go and get all the best work.
And the St. Andrew's Church tag sale.
We've done a bunch of stories this year on tag sales, because there's two or three iconic tag sales every summer that, you know, if you're in the know, then you all go to. And so everybody goes to St. Andrew's Parish Church tag sale, which is part of the weekend in Kent, which, of course, is another huge festival at the southern end of our coverage area, and tons of stuff going on. Very well attended. People were going from Thursday all the way through Sunday, and everybody reported back to me that there were a ton of people. I did go to the St. Andrew's Church tag sale, which was great, and Leela writes about it.
All right. And, of course, coming up is the Habitat tag sale, which is once again back at Hotchkiss.
Speaking of iconic, gigantic tag sales, and so we sent Quincy over. And every year they have one signature item that they're like, this is our big item. One year it was a Coke machine, one year it was a sailboat. So this year's big item is a leather sectional sofa in a color that's sometimes known as grayish and sometimes known as mouse. I'm looking at Anne, who's now laughing because she knows what color I mean.
Right.
Taupe.
All right. Tree lore for young and old, the Great Mountain Forest.
So again, as part of the weekend in Norfolk, it's not just stuff happening in town. It's also events at the Great Mountain Forest, where, again, they know how to put on an event that attracts a lot of people. Patrick is a big fan of theirs. And so we have two stories combined here. One is learning how to identify trees, which was a great fun event for kids. Like, you know, a lot of area for them to run around and bounce around and be active, but also a learning experience. I remember as a kid being taught how to, you know, count the rings on the inside of a tree. And also a bunch of kids from New York City had come up during the summer, and they did their annual presentation, and he talks about that, the children from Christadora.
All right. You have, of course, the Kent had their sidewalk festival and their incredible car show and more over the weekend.
Yep. And a sad story, Main Street Barber, where Patrick has been going for years. It used to be called Mario's. Until Mario retired, and Bonnie Spadassini had been running it, and her building had sold, and she tried. You know, it's funny. We have all these empty commercial spaces that would like to have tenants, but it's tricky to make the right match of tenant and space. And so she said, I couldn't find any place either whose rent I could afford or that didn't need so much renovation that would break me. So That's a hard loss. One of our last local barbers.
And you do sit there, and we're not building owners, but you do see there, and you see empty buildings, spaces empty for 6, 7, 8 months, and you say to yourself, wouldn't it be great, even if it was at a lower rent at the beginning, to get those places filled?
Yeah. I was just in Seattle where there's this huge boom. Like, all these young people have huge, huge salaries. And so instead of, you know, it's just like a – an apartment is pretty much the same apartment it was 10 years ago before the apartment boom. But what they basically do is they figure out what the average salary is, and then they increase their rent by, you know, hundreds of percent sometimes, which just seems, you know, I'm sympathetic for the building owners. Of course, they want to make as much money as they can from their investment. But it's just, you know, you have the huge homeless problem in Seattle, and it's a similar thing here with real estate rents.
Well, it was like, funny because when we bought the radio station here, the building was empty for about 2 years and starting to go to waste. They gave us a lower rent to move in at first, and every year we upped the rent, and now we pay market value rent, and the building's been occupied, and now because the town owns the building, all the rent goes into maintaining the building. I mean, there's ways you can do it so everybody wins.
Yeah.
There really is, with everything that's around here.
Yeah.
Well, once again, we talked about Saperstein's building being back on the market. We also talked a little bit about the Sharon Crafts Fair, which got a break in the weather until after 3 o'clock, and then after 3 o'clock, everything
stormed. I actually was talking to somebody who was a vendor there, Lisa Cornish, and she said it started raining so hard we couldn't load our car for 3 hours. But so Gabby's going to talk about her experience of covering the Crafts Fair.
Yeah, luckily I did not go when it was storming, but when I went, it was really nice weather. It was their 60th. Annual celebration, and Meddy made it really special by bringing a bounce house in and a food truck and some other things for the kids. But it was smaller than previous years, but still a great turnout.
They did a great job with the town getting the company who just cleaned up the green so they could hold it. And like I said, they held until 3 o'clock, and then it's funny, if you lived in Lakeville, you didn't see anything at 3 o'clock, but in Sharon, it just poured for 2.5 hours.
I mean, but, you know, nice if it waits. And all the vendors I spoke to said that this was one of their best years that they've ever had.
I noticed when I was there we were there from 10 to about 1 o'clock. It was very, very busy. As a matter of fact, to try to get across the street from parking and behind the town hall, people had to wait sometimes 4 or 5 minutes. There was so much traffic that was coming by. So.
Yeah, and pulling out their wallets.
That's exactly right. Editorial time, opinion page. We're 123 years old, yet new every week.
All right, and so what are we talking about? The Lakeville Journal. This is the week when our volume switches over. We started this week, volume 1, number 1. In 1897, so we give a bit of our history here and talk about what was in that first edition, and it's fascinating. The headlines that were on those stories in that first edition still look darn interesting.
And that's why I always love to look back at the Turning Back the Pages feature, because it goes back 100 years, 50 years, 25 years, and it's nice to see the history of the area. And once again, you got a bunch of letters in this year, this week as well, which is in the summertime.
Right. And so we have, so many letters that one had to go over to the Viewpoint page, but that's okay. It's all opinion, and we'd love to have your letters.
And might I say, Peter Steiner was at the book signing, and I talked to him about his cartoons.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you mentioned them. And I was pleased to see that while Dr. Kissinger had a line, when I went to get Peter's book at the book signing, there was a line for him, too.
The people that were lined up to check out.
Yeah.
It was stunning how many. It was the biggest that I had seen it, and I've been there, I think, for 10 or 11 years in a row now. So it's one of the best put on events that you'll find.
Oh, it really is. It's so great. So great to see so many authors in one place and so many readers, you know. Socializing. It's great.
All right. On the sports page, the car cruise, which was held in Kent.
Endless supply of old cars around here, and people love to see them. And each sale has its own personality. But I've noticed Mike Metzger driving around in his really notable orange muscle car with the big high. I can't remember what they call it, that thing in the back. But Lance Christensen gives us the story. Apparently, it was Sam Posey's mother's car. But to find out more, read his funny story.
All right, you've got a story on the Millbrook horse trials as well.
Right, one of the signature equestrian events of the year, held again in beautiful weather in Millbrook. And then John Torsiello, who's been writing about golf courses and making them sound so luscious. And also, if you turn to our page A11, we have the candidates for our upcoming elections. It's been a fairly quiet season for campaigning. We'll expect that to pick up a little bit in October, but elections will be first week of November. But it seems generally fairly, like pretty much one person running for office on very, very little opposition.
And you've got lots of colored pictures on the family and friends page.
Yeah, we have a really lovely family and friends page. And my favorite is the Scout Jamboree. Speaking of old-fashioned cartoons, I still remember the Flintstones, the Boy Scout Jamboree that they had. And whenever Randy O'Rourke and the Boy Scouts from Kent say, we're going to a jamboree, I think, wow, just like in the Flintstones. But a really interesting opportunity for kids from all over the world to get together and talk about scouting.
All right. And Boy Scouting.
Boy and Girl Scouting. 50% of the Scouts were girls.
Amazing.
Which is cool.
Yeah. I mean, I was never a Boy Scout. Never.
In any
never.
Sense. Yeah.
No. Now they I was banned from even.
Not brave, clean, or reverent?
Yeah. Or
was,
loyal. Yeah.
I was banned.
Brave,
I couldn't even apply.
Can you? Any of the qualities?
Mr. Christina gave a test one year. Every year it was a free test. And it was just to see what people knew about nature. And he gives a test, and he came around. This was in eighth grade, and he came up to my desk, and he asked us after he handed all the papers, and I thought I was going to get, wow, I know so much. And he goes, and this is the one person you never, ever want to go out in the woods with, Mr. Miles. I just knew nothing about anything in the woods.
But look at you now.
Look at me now.
You have other skills. That's
I certainly do. We're still trying to hone those skills. So, all right. Well, speaking about honing down, let's turn things over to Ann and a very bright and cheery compass.
Yes, we have a very exciting week, and it's midsummer, time to get all those fabulous farm market picks. My particular favorite are sunflowers, and these that I put on the cover are from Paley's. And they have the sunflowers, I have to get into sunflower minutiae here, the kind without the dark brown centers. They have both, but I prefer the ones with the yellow centers. So, but you can mix and match, and they also, of course, at Paley's have amazing other produce and zinnias.
Best but corn.
But you know, when you mention those sunflowers, I always think of what used to be planted in between Sharon and Salisbury,
right,
when all the sunflowers were planted. I actually had a friend who took a time photography, and you could actually watch the sunflowers, this whole field.
Yeah.
Just
vroom, there was a moment when they were all selling the oil, and it seems to have ended.
Yeah. Oh, you mean on Elaine LaRoche's field?
Yeah,
I don't know why she's not planting them anymore.
I don't know, but it was always amazing to watch.
I loved it. Yeah. And even when they were dead, they looked kind of cool.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, so there's this is a guide to all the good farm stands. I like Lou up on the road to Canaan. He's in North Canaan. It's called Lou's Farm Stand. You might miss it if you're driving too fast, but he just has a little wooden cart, and he sells gladiolas, and the gladiolas that he has are amazing. They're like on steroids or something. I've never seen gladiolas like this. And we also visited Freund's Farm Market, and I have a listing of all the nice places to buy fresh flowers in the area. I mean, of course, you can buy other things at most of these stands, like Lou has onions and cucumbers and everything, but I was trying to focus on flowers because we only have limited space. We also have a review of, let's start with the preview of the music festival at Bard. Eric Korngold is a person who I've never heard of. And it turns out he was an amazing child prodigy from Austria, and there's the next two weekends are highlighting his music, featuring some of his operas, but also he did all these movie scores that I didn't know about, Casablanca, Rebecca, Vertigo, and they're going to be featuring those. So it's over at Bard, which is not that far to get to. We forget because it's in a different state. It's such a fast drive. It's less than 40 minutes, I think. Anyway, next we have a movie review of The Farewell, which is at the Millerton Movie House right now, and I don't think it's a plot spoiler because the movie opens with saying this story is based on an actual lie. So the whole movie is about how this family's lying to the grandmother who's dying. And apparently it's okay. They're all trying to decide, is it okay to lie to her? Is it not okay? And I haven't seen the movie, so I can't tell you what happens. We have Martha Graham, dance troupe at Jacob's Pillow. There's also, this Friday, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat is opening at Sharon Playhouse.
And you know who's going to be at the theater on Friday?
No.
Bill Hutton, the original Joseph on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
He's going to be at the opening show.
Wow. What's he doing? Just coming to say hi?
Well, obviously, I'll be interviewing him because he better come over and be interviewed. I think so, just to say hi and stuff like that.
Boy, that's going to be a challenge for the cast to try to live up to him.
I want Donny Osmond to come.
Was he? Oh, he was
He was Joseph, too. Yeah.
Oh, for years.
So that's probably why I didn't like it on Broadway. And I loved it. I loved it after
Osmond.
Broadway.
You don't love Donny Osmond?
He's not a girl. What does he know?
It was when they would sing together. He and his sister, Donny and
Marie.
Donny.
Paper roses.
Oh, it's the song I hated the most.
Boy, I can't believe you all even know the name. I don't know a single Donny and Marie song. But then we have a show, an art exhibit down in Kent. Which is called Some Women and a Triangle. And I think you should read the review. The reviewer, Alicia Trimble, is new for Compass, and she's young, and she has some really smart ideas. And she reviewed this art show talking about the fabulous paintings by women, and then there's one piece by a man, and it costs as much as the entire room. Of paintings by women. But anyway, that's just a minor point in her review. I think she's going to get into it a little deeper, not just mentioning this gallery, but many galleries. Then we also have a story about why your hydrangea isn't blooming, which is a question I have. This is a woman, Dawn Pettinelli, from UConn, who sends me articles, and she's always smart about it, but you've got to read the story. It's basically, her theory is that the reason we don't get these beautiful blue flowers up here that people get by the beach and in more temperate zones, you almost never see this pretty sort of periwinkle blue in a hydrangea. Our white ones do well, but the blue ones don't do as well. And she thinks it's partly to do with winter damage. But you can read the story, and I think she has some ideas about getting better color in your hydrangea. And then we have calendar with lots of amazing events. How much more time do I have, Marshall?
You have about another minute if you need.
Oh, no, I don't.
We also have country dining,
yes.
Which highlights some of the restaurants in our area, so don't miss that.
And what's interesting about, I was going to stop by Picantia's the other day, things have gone so well for him, and he's going to be opening up a new restaurant in Canaan.
Yeah, I saw that in that ad. Do you know which space in Canaan he's
at? Yeah, right. Well, when you just go just past the police department, the old State Line Pizza, the old State Line Pizza building.
Far to the left.
That's where he's going to be going in. And I think that just tells you a lot about it. If you're willing to come into the area, open up a business, find a niche, and work hard at doing it. You can succeed.
State Line is closing? I didn't know that.
No, not that State Line. State Line had been in this skeezy little space, and then they moved to that big, beautiful new space.
Where Curves is?
No, farther on, past the police. You don't even notice that it's there.
It's right behind Guy Sign.
Behind Guy Sign.
Opposite Guy Sign.
Yeah. The old State Line.
It's an overgrown field, so that's going to be a nice, blighted property that will be excellent to see being used again.
I think Picante has a fun margarita night. I forget. I think it's Wednesday night or Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and they say Tequila Patron dinner coming up August 15th.
Which I'll stay away from so I don't get arrested and I can come to work.
Yeah, good idea.
But that's one of the good signs. Where you can open up a business here and struggle and work and see it expand and grow.
Yeah.
We you know.
Eddie Meza. who I believe has bought the State Line Car Wash because I saw him over there.
Well, that's going to be open very, very, very soon.
Is it going to be a car wash again, or what's it going to be?
Oh, absolutely. A top-level car
watching
wash.
The
absolutely.
Good. Yeah, he's done a lot of work on that building.
A lot.
He's going to put Ann Day photos inside, too. Like at the end.
Yeah.
I think that would be good when you're going through in your car.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. That's let's call Eddie and tell him.
That's right. Yeah. He'll go along with it. Well, those are just some of the stories that you'll see in the Lakeville Journal on your newsstands. You can, of course, get it delivered to your house online at tricornernews.com and also on Facebook. And I guess we'll see you guys 1 week from today.
We'll see you, or we'll see you at some event somewhere.
That's exactly right.
Thank you.
All right, take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com. And once again, like I said, tricornernews.com if you'd like to be kept up to date on the web.